Hello and welcome to another Premier League preview podcast exclusively for you guys here on Patreon. As ever, well, most of the time I'm joined by Lewis Ambrose, and today I'm delighted to say I am joined by Lewis Ambrose. Hello.
Most of the time, for the last time for a while, I think.
Yeah, but the last preview podcast for the Premier League, you weren't here, so we had to.
No, yeah, I'm flaky as they come at the moment.
Yeah, and what happened? What happened that day? We lost game.
It wasn't good. Yeah,
we lost that game.
But we were back and we won the Europa League game.
Yeah.
Against Zurich, and then and now this is my last one until I just had a quick look at the fixtures. I think until if we do one for the rearranged PSV fixture, or if we don't, then the weekend after that.
So right.
For about a month, thanks to the international break as well.
Yes, of course, because there's an international break and then you're away. To enjoy
I'm
yourself.
Gone.
You're gone. He's gone. So
to a better place, hopefully.
that sounds a bit deathy, if you don't mind me saying. So just hopefully you can go on your...
Not quite.
Yeah, come back in, you know, good form, refreshed and everything else.
A better temporary place.
Yes, with better weather. Is that fair to say?
We hope it'll be better. We don't know if the weather will be better there. Who's to say?
It should
be.
This all sounds very mysterious. It's just, you know, it's not really. It does feel like a long time since we played a Premier League game. It's nearly 2 weeks now since we faced Manchester United, which didn't go as well as we would have liked. And of course, we now know that's your fault for not doing the preview podcast.
Yeah,
that's fine. It does feel like a long time, though, because of everything that's happened. It's all been quite busy and surreal and everything else. A game is on, a game is off. And then, you know, we didn't even have the midweek game. I'm sure Mikel Arteta and his players are itching to get out against Brentford on Sunday.
Yeah, I'd reckon so. Do you think it feels like longer than, say, now when the international break's coming up? Do you think it feels longer just because it was very short notice and we thought we were going to play and then suddenly we weren't?
Yeah, you kind of prepare yourself for an international break. You know it's going to be, you know, 2 weeks of nothing. But when you're expecting a game and then it's called off at not quite the last minute, certainly the PSV game wasn't last minute, but the games last weekend, because of the announcement last Friday, the Premier League and football made their minds up very, very quickly while every other sport said, well, it's sad, but let's keep going. Football wasn't willing to do that. When the game is cancelled last minute, obviously it feels worse. It feels like you're missing out on something in a more egregious way than just sort of having to deal with 2 weeks of interlull silence, I guess.
Yeah, and I was pretty sure with us playing in London this weekend that we would have this one called off as well. I guess the compromise was that they had moved the kickoff earlier. And now we're kicking off, is it midday?
Yeah.
Local time. So I guess that was the compromise they made to make sure the game could go ahead with, I assume, as little police presence as possible. It was, I'm just happy we are playing this weekend because I think that would have been really, really shit to have had both called off and then the next game would be after the international break, it'd be Spurs, and we wouldn't have played in the league for a month and have had a month to stew on that loss to Man United. So I'm sure Brentford would say the same, that they're itching to get out there. But we've got a record to set straight with Brentford and at Brentford and after the last game. So I'm sure the players will be itching. And we've all talked, and it's going to come back to bite us later in the season. We're going to have to put up with it because of these cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
But we've all talked about the players being tired and the fixture congestion and pile up and having to play but Mikel Arteta choosing to more or less play the same 11 in every league game so far. Any changes were forced. There will be, I'm sure, one or two forced changes again this weekend. But at least those players that we've all been talking about are, when are they going to get a break? Gabriel Jesus and Bukayo Saka and Martin Odegaard and the defence. Granit Xhaka, they've had a break now. They can go into this Brentford game full tilt because none of them have played since Old Trafford, pretty much. I mean, Xhaka and Lokonga obviously played the game in Switzerland, and then a few of them, and Martinelli, and then a few of them came off the bench for 15, 20, 25 minutes at the end.
Mm.
But yeah, there's no excuse. There's no reason that we should start slowly or look lethargic this weekend we can hopefully turn up and hit the ground running.
Hopefully. You mentioned we've got some, not quite a score to settle with Brentford themselves, because I think, you know, fair enough, they deserved their win last season. They played well. They had that, you know, the first game back in the Premier League at a new stadium, a Friday night, places rocking. And they were lucky in a way that they were facing an Arsenal side that was very, very depleted. A lot of transfer business hadn't been done. I went back to have a look at the team, actually. And the team Arsenal played that day was Leno, Tierney, White, Chambers, Pablo Mari, Smith Rowe, Lokonga, Xhaka, Pepe, Balogun, Martinelli. So quite a number of those players are no longer here to various extents. Obviously, Chambers is gone. Pablo Mari is gone. Bernd Leno is gone. Nicolas Pepe and Flo Balogun are on loan. And we didn't have Aubameyang. We didn't have Lacazette because they were stricken with COVID and everything else.
Martinelli, just even a player who'll start this weekend, I'm sure, had just stepped off a plane from Japan.
That's right, Jay. Come back from the Olympics. Yeah. So, you know, The ingredients combined very well for Brentford that night, and, you know, they made the most of it, and why not? But it is going to be a different Arsenal team that goes into this one, for sure.
A different Arsenal and a different Brentford as well, I think. Just that, like you said, that concoction of everything. Friday night, opening game against a promoted side, and not against, I don't know, Norwich or Fulham, but a promoted side with no Premier League history. A team playing in a brand new stadium as well, and thanks to COVID and everything that had gone before it, they'd played in the stadium before for, I think, the previous season, but fans weren't there, or very few fans were there for very few games. So it was a party. It was a massive, massive celebration and coming together for Brentford as a club, not just the players and not just the fans, but everything that surrounded the club was a huge, huge party atmosphere. And I think we all looked at the fixture list the day it came out and were like, that's not going to be nice. Friday night, away from home, promoted team and all of that stuff. Brentford now have started the season fairly well, but and it's still going to be a hard place to go to. You saw that when they played Man United. But they don't have all of that behind them anymore. I think when you get moments in sport where those situations carry a team and push them on to a level they're not quite capable of naturally, maybe. Sunday should be a relatively normal atmosphere, I think, for Brentford. They'll be up for it, top of the league, come in to visit, but it will be a regular game, and those fans are used to the big clubs coming and playing against them now, and I'm sure that they'll really fancy themselves to get something out of it. But we also are, you know, their situation's different. Our situation couldn't be more different. We were a mess. You've just read out the 11, but this was an Arsenal team that had failed to qualify for Europe just at the back end of the previous season for the first time in over 20 years. The mood around the club couldn't have been more different then than it is now. I remember we were one or two games removed in that Brentford game last season from people talking about if Mikel Arteta loses the next game, he's going to get sacked.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be more different. It's day and night where we are now compared to, what was it now, 12 months ago, 13 months ago. Sure. And there's no reason not to think that we're massive favourites.
They are a good team, though. You know, Brentford have shown this season they've had some pretty pretty good results. Obviously, the Man United game, I know it was really funny. And it was exceptionally funny. From our perspective, it was hilarious, you know, to see United 4-0 down in 38 minutes, whatever it was. You know, Harry Maguire lumbering around like some kind of confused ent, not knowing where the ball was half the time. You know, that was objectively funny. But I also think it was just a bit of a freak. You know, in a way, it was a bit of a freak result. And those things can happen. But you've got to pay attention when Brentford can do that to Manchester United, even if they were a bit of a mess. You've got to be careful. They had a great result. Their last game was against Leeds. 5-2 win over Leeds. It was maybe a little bit closer than the scoreline suggested, but a man that day who scored a sensational hat-trick, Ivan Toney, is probably the guy that we've got to look out for. He was the one who gave Ben White a bit of a hard time on his debut against Arsenal last season, debut for Arsenal, I should say, last season. Been called up into the England squad. You'll remember in All or Nothing, Mikel Arteta used the Ivan Toney tweet, nice kick around with the lads, you know, to prepare the boys for the home game against Brentford. You know, they do have some quality in that team, and he's going to be a pest to our defence, I think, tomorrow, or on Sunday, rather.
Yeah, he is. I think he's... I'm really interested by what by Brentford, how they're going to approach this, because they've played, I think pretty much, they played a back three last season and then they came to the Emirates and lost and were quite poor. And I think they were on a really bad run at the time. And after that, they moved to a back four. But then they've still gone back to the back three, I think, when they've played like the back end of last season. They won at Stamford Bridge and they used three at the back. Mm. They played Tottenham. And then that game against Man United this season was the only game so far this season when they've played three at the back. And I think he obviously scored a hat-trick at Leeds last time. I think the front two is more dangerous. I think I'd be more worried about Ivan Toney playing as a front two in a pair and having somebody to work with. I'm a little bit less worried if he's up front on his own and between Gabriel and Saliba, they can choose who's marking him when and deal with him and hand him over to each other. When you've got two up front and it's man v man for 90 minutes, I think for a defender, that's a little bit more challenging. More questions are going to be asked. So
sure.
I'm guessing that they're going to play in a front two. And I think Tony's a really good striker to play in a front two. Obviously, he was linked with us a little bit in the summer as well. I think you've seen that step up to the Premier League hasn't really fazed him that much. And he's got the strength and desire to chase every ball and win 50-50s. He's not greedy either. He gets on the end of things, but he looks to bring others into play and plays really well with, I think it's Mbeumo, who usually plays up front when it's the two up top. So I think it's a bit of a different challenge for us. What we've played so far this season. I think we have tended to play really well against back threes under Mikel Arteta, especially this season so far. Quite a few teams have lined up like that against us, but not so often with two strikers. And I think there's a little bit more of an interesting test for our defence. And maybe if you'll see Ben White play a little bit closer to the defence as a real back three to counteract it. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, Tony's, like you say, he's on form. Although their big threat is set pieces, and Toney included in that. He's obviously the penalty taker. I think he's taking free kicks at the moment as well.
Scored a great free kick against Leeds, didn't he? Yeah.
Right. I think I saw Opta tweet that he's had more shots from set pieces this season than he's actually had shots in open play.
Wow.
I'm sure that's including getting on the end of corners and things like that as well. But in open play, especially if he's playing up front on his own, I don't know how much there'll be to worry about there. Compared to if he's either in a front two or, yeah, defending set pieces, which is something we've improved on so much over the last couple of years. It'll be interesting to see that properly tested, I think, this weekend against a team that probably uses them better than anyone else in the league except the top two.
Yeah, I do wonder if that's part of the preparation. You know, when you're facing a team that is good at set pieces, like how do you try and mitigate that threat? Because corners and free kicks, you know, you can do something about free kicks, but you know, you've got to defend corners. You don't want to give away a free kick just outside the box or anything like that when you've got somebody who's good. So we will have to see. I mean, is there anybody else in the Brentford side that you look at and think, oh, this guy could present us with a bit of a challenge? We're still sort of up in the air really about what we've got available in midfield. Mikel Arteta was not giving anything away from a an injury point of view. He talked about having to look at players tomorrow, Saturday, as we're recording this. You know, he's talking about we'll wait and see who might be available in the next 24 hours. There was talk of Thomas Partey being back. There's talk of a Zinchenko injury, which I think, again, changes a little bit the way we play.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I'm not... I'd obviously rather Zinchenko be available. I'm not massively worried if he's not, just because we think we played so well in the other two games that he wasn't available so far this season. When Kieran Tierney did come in, I think it's not like previous seasons where the downgrade or the backup or the rotation, whatever you want to call that option, was a massive drop-off. We'll have to play, obviously, a little bit differently. It will demand more from the midfielders, I think, on the ball if Zinchenko's not there, more on Granit Xhaka's shoulders in particular, to have more possession and have more of the ball on that left-hand side of midfield. But, I mean, I think that's something he's capable of. I think he's had a really good start to the season as well. For Brentford, I think that's the... It's Mathias Jensen, who was great against Man United, loads of energy, and the one who robbed Christian Eriksen and scored on the edge of the box. That's what's something to look out for us, really, I think, is they will not be afraid, especially at home, to press high, to try and steal the ball off us close to our own box. And I think he'll be the one that really brings that energy from midfield. So how we deal with that, I think it's how much our sort of automatisms are clicking in gear, and everybody knows their role, everybody knows their job. We saw that in the All or Nothing with Mikel Arteta quizzing the players on, you know, each knowing where each other are. That's how we play out from the back. There are patterns, and everybody knows the patterns and knows what their jobs are. We've seen in previous games when teams do press us high, when it works for us, that will leave spaces to attack in behind. So I'm not massively worried about it. I think it's something to look out for, and it'll be maybe one of the battles that decides the game a little bit. And there's just a bunch of Arsenal linked players somehow at Brentford. David Raya in goal, Aaron Hickey at wing back, which I think he started every game since he joined them this summer, and Josh De Silva, who is a big question mark for me, what he maybe could have been at Arsenal with fewer injuries and more of a chance. He went to Brentford when they're in the Championship still and was one of the stars of the team for a couple of seasons until they got promoted. And I think he missed all of last season through injury. So we've not really seen him in the Premier League, but he's been back and started every game so far this season. He's a really, really gifted midfielder. And it'll be, as I say, interesting to see him. I'm sure he'll think he's got a bit of a point to prove up against us.
Yeah, maybe.
Could have been.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's one of those where it's not that he was necessarily unhappy at Arsenal, but perhaps it was difficult to see a pathway to first team football, whereas that was something he was offered at Brentford at a slightly lower level at that point. So it seems like a good career move. You do sometimes see a young player and, you know, they get fed up or whatever it might be, but I don't think there was anything especially contentious about his departure. But I do agree with you. I think he's a good player, and maybe, you know, could have made the grade at Arsenal. Other injury news, Emile Smith Rowe has got a groin problem that's ongoing, according to Mikel Arteta. He says he hasn't had any continuity this season. It's something we're trying to assess and trying to help him as much as possible in any way that we can, because we need him fit, we need him available, and we need him performing at his best level because he's such an important player for us. It's a bit vague, isn't it? We're trying to help him as much as possible in any way that we can.
Mikel Arteta's non-specific injury updates.
Yeah, I mean, if you want somebody to give as little information as possible about anything at all on any subject, if that was your mastermind specialist subject, who can give the most vague information on any topic at any time? It is Mikel Arteta and injuries. I did see
you'd never worry if Mikel Arteta was a spy and got caught by the enemy, would you? He's not given anything away.
Name and number, that's it. Arteta never Mikel Arteta, and you can have my number, and that's it. but Smith Rowe, I did see a report, unsubstantiated, that he might require surgery, which would be a real blow for him, because, you know, the impact he made last season and the season before was significant. And I think last season we saw a more mature Smith Rowe, somebody who scored 11 goals in all competitions, double figures in the Premier League. And I think what we were looking for this season, when we were thinking about, right, we bring in a new centre forward, that will get us more goals than Aubameyang and Lacazette. Martinelli, he can take a step forward. He could certainly give us more. But, you know, if you add more from Bukayo Saka, if you can get the same again, a bit more from Emile Smith Rowe, I mean, it looks unlikely, not impossible, but it looks unlikely at this point that he's going to, going to make that kind of an impact again this season because, you know, I don't know when he's going to be fit. Hopefully this interlull will give him time, but if not, you know, how cautiously do they play it with somebody? You know, there's only another 6 weeks after this, when the interlull is over, when we come back, it's like 6 weeks and then the break for the World Cup. You know, might they have to make a decision about Smith Rowe that rules him out of this section of the season in order to get him back properly for the second half? I'm speculating wildly here, but, yeah, but it might be a case of when you're assessing his situation, can we get him back for this hectic schedule? But is that the best thing?
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely got to come into the thinking. If you bring him back and try and play him in a couple of the Europa League group games, maybe, so you can get him ready for the last couple of league games before the break, and then he picks up an injury and he's out for 3 months, then you lose him for 3 months. If you now set a timetable or set the target of him being fully fit when everyone's back after Christmas, then it obviously gives you that space to, I don't know, maybe have surgery if surgery is required. And we all know that as hectic as things are going to be up until the end of November or middle of November, it's only 2 months now until that break does come around. It's going to be a hectic 6, 7, 8 weeks, but then it's a month off, and then it's going to be just as hectic, if not more hectic, afterwards. We're going to need as many players as we can have. We're also going to need players who haven't been to the World Cup and played loads of football in the space of a month. We're in the fortunate position maybe where Martin Odegaard will be not playing at the World Cup. A couple of other players, Lokonga has not been called into the Belgium squad this week. You know, maybe he gets a month off. But we also have a bunch of players who are going to go to the World Cup and play a lot of football. A lot of football where other teams will have players having a break. Bukayo Saka's not going to have a break.
No.
Granit Xhaka's not going to have a break. Gabriel Jesus or Gabriel Martinelli, possibly. Now, Tim talking about their chances of making the Brazil squad on the Askcast today. Possibly one of them makes it. Possibly both of them make it. Either way, if somebody's there, that's not going to be a month off for them. So we're looking at a situation where the players that don't go to the World Cup, I think, when January comes around, are going to be really, really important. And Smith Rowe is going to be one of those. There's no way he's going to make the England squad.
No.
So, yeah, I personally, without knowing how bad the injury is, obviously, I wouldn't have any problems with us now looking at the start of New Year as a time when Emile Smith Rowe can come in and have a real impact. As you say, it's a shame because you were looking at last season and where to improve, and the answer was obviously goals. And you think, striker with between 15 and 20 goals, and then the players you mentioned, Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard, Smith Rowe, 7, 8, 9 goals each from those. And then you're starting to look at a healthy goal tally. It's hard to imagine Emile Smith Rowe playing enough football to get that 8, 9, 10 goals this season now. Hopefully he's fit soon and hopefully he's back, because we also, you know, the way Martinelli's playing, the addition of Gabriel Jesus, the addition of Fabio Vieira, just kind of calling everybody who speaks Portuguese Gabriel now.
Yeah, it's all their middle names. Everyone who speaks Portuguese, their middle name is Gabriel, I think.
But you looked at those signings in the summer and the way that Martinelli's kicked on, I think, over the last 12 months, and you saw Smith Rowe in that group, and it's like, wow, we have great options, and not backups or second choice players, but options for the first 11. And unfortunately, still, we're approaching our 7th, should be our 8th game of the league season, and one of them's not been able to have any impact at all because of his injury.
What do you think Mikel Arteta's best option is? You mentioned Gabriel Martinelli, and he's a guy who loves to play and wants to play, you know, as many minutes as possible, but we have to be realistic. In the absence of Smith Rowe, because I think that was the alternative, the 1-2 there, whatever order you would have them in yourself, what do you think his options are for that left-hand side now that when inevitably, as we are going to have to in October, we're going to have to rotate. We're going to have to use as much of the squad as possible. So what do you think is the best option available to Mikel Arteta in the absence of Smith Rowe for that left-hand side?
The most obvious option for me is that it's an opening for Eddie Nketiah to start more games.
And play Gabriel Jesus wide?
Or and have them switching positions. You know, one of the Jesus spends so much time drifting out to that left-hand side anyway, and Martinelli drifts inside. So I think you can play Nketiah and Jesus together, but not as a front two, but with somebody playing on that left flank. I think we're going to have to change the way we play if Martinelli doesn't play. I think the left back tucking in and playing in midfield is allowed to happen because Martinelli's so explosive and stays out wide and stays on the touchline until it's time to come inside. And I don't think Nketiah is going to want to hang out getting chalk on his boots. I don't think Jesus, if he gets played out there at some point, is going to want to do that. They're both going to want to be in the box. And then it's going to be time for Zinchenko or Tierney, whoever's playing, to maybe offer a bit more of an option overlapping. Maybe it means that Xhaka doesn't get as far forward and plays a little bit deeper in midfield instead of this box-to-box gate-crashing midfielder that he's become. I think you might have to adapt things a little bit there. I also don't think that would be the worst thing for us, because the more things don't change, the more predictable you obviously become. And I think, you know, we've won the first five games. We've played really well at Old Trafford. I don't think anyone's learnt or figured out how to handle us yet when we have Zinchenko coming inside and Xhaka getting further forward. But it would be nice to still have a little bit of variation and have the left back maybe overlapping more in some games or some circumstances, and Xhaka not quite getting as far forward, and then that Martinelli position maybe playing that role on the pitch anyway, that inside the channels role that Granit Xhaka's kind of taken upon himself this season. So I don't think it would be the worst thing. I know we all have a bit of PTSD with overlapping left backs and that being our only way of getting forward and swinging something into the box. But the variation wouldn't be a problem for me. And yeah, Nketiah and Jesus playing together and switching on that left-hand side, and the left back maybe playing a little bit more like a traditional left back, seems the most obvious answer. For me, I don't know if you've got, would you play Saka there or anybody else?
You could, depending on how well they think Marquinhos is doing. You could certainly play Saka on the left-hand side, where he has played plenty before and been very effective.
Or Vieira on the right.
Vieira on the right, of course, as well. He could possibly do that. I do wonder about maybe playing a two up front at times, depending on the opposition, where maybe you squeeze things differently, play something like a Christmas tree kind of formation in midfield and get those two up top. And like you say, their versatility, the way that they can move around, particularly now that Nketiah is much more effective outside the box, I do wonder if that's something we're going to have to consider, because we don't have, you know, an obvious alternative. I did speak to Tim a little bit about this on the Arsecast today. You know, if you get Reece Nelson fit, maybe he's somebody who could play on the left-hand side. I don't really think we've seen a great deal of him doing that. But as a slight sort of analog for Martinelli, I'm not saying they're the same kind of player, but a right-footed player playing on the left who may like to cut inside, that could well be Reece Nelson's oeuvre, if you like. But again, depends on fitness, getting match fit. You know,
the key thing is Martinelli cannot play every game as much as I'm sure he'd like to. The Europa League, he's the only one out of that front four that started the first Europa League group game.
Because we don't have the alternative. We don't have the obvious player.
Exactly. That can't keep happening. It's going to have to be mixed. It's going to have to be him sometimes, Jesus sometimes, and Nketiah sometimes. It can't be the same one that plays all of these games, because we're going to run somebody into the ground if we do that.
Yeah. Just finally, some interesting comments from Arteta talking about Ben White, because he was left out of the England squad. I had heard there were a little bit of fitness worries about him, but Mikel Arteta said he's fit. That was as much as he said about Ben White. There we go. I mean, that's quite upfront for Mikel Arteta. But who knows? Maybe he's saying he's fit when he's not quite fit. He doesn't want to give anything away. Doesn't want to suggest there's any weakness.
We know he just doesn't fib about. Yeah. Or he doesn't give us anything on when someone's going to be back, but maybe not how fit they actually are.
Yeah, but he talked about Ben White's versatility and also Tomiyasu. He said he can play central defender. Tommy has been playing left centre-back for his national team. When you look at the games, he can play as a left-back, because you cannot tell if he's a right- or left-footed player. So we have the options there. We have to utilise them in the best possible way, talking about the minutes, blah, blah, blah. But he's saying it's great that players are comfortable doing more than just one fixed position, which is, you know, something we've discussed at length. But he's another one, I think, this season, they're being cautious, they're easing him back in, they're giving him some minutes. he missed a lot of last season. You kind of forget how much of last season he missed because of the injuries that he had. And then towards the end of the season when he was brought back, I think he just kind of, you know, the burden was too much having missed so much football, particularly the kind of games you were playing. But, you know, we think about rotation primarily up front, like how do we keep our most exciting players fit and healthy and fresh and all that kind of stuff. But when we do look at what we've got at the back, Tomiyasu can play left back, did play left back, didn't he, in the Newcastle game we started there? Or was it the Derby? Was it North London? I would think it was maybe the Derby he started.
Yeah, there was definitely a game towards the end of last season.
You know,
I'm refusing to remember what happened.
Sure, don't do it. Don't do it. I watched the last episode of All or Nothing and I
regret it. I watched the rest of it.
I regret it. don't watch episode 8. That's all I'll tell you. But, you know, a player who I think, you know, we look forward to welcoming back because he does give you plenty defensively. And maybe when you talk about a team like Brentford who are good from set pieces, Tomiyasu's size, his height, his presence could be pretty useful in that sense.
Especially if Ben White has had an issue fitness-wise. Yeah, we talked about this, I think, on the last pod or the one before that, and you looked at the defensive, the heading stats, the aerial duels, and Ben White came out really, really healthily. Not to forget, he's a centre-back as well. And his reputation was damaged by that Premier League debut at Brentford last season.
But yeah,
he's pretty good in the air, really. It's not like he's a slouch. But I do think that Tomiyasu is obviously was massive for us in the first half of last season.
Sure.
I think at a time when, if you look at how we played recently and there were signs of that at the back end or the second half of last season, we weren't really there yet last season when Tomiyasu was actually playing.
Mm.
And he looked good anyway. And I think that speaks to his consistency and his talent. So, yeah, I'm sure they're just taking it easy with him. You really do forget. He missed like half a season almost.
Yeah.
It's really weird to think of it because he came in and everybody loved him so quickly that you don't think of him as a guy who only played half of last season. He's another one with the World Cup coming up, though.
Yeah.
And that's also recently been something I've been thinking about. Are you not just being careful with him, but you'd be careful with him knowing that you could be risking his World Cup, firstly. And also, you know that when it comes to November, Japan are going to be using him every single minute of every game. You can't blame them for that. It's a World Cup. People shouldn't have to compromise on their teams because of fitness. Unfortunately, because of FIFA, it's in the back of everyone's mind at the moment. But yeah, I think Tomiyasu is another one who we might see more of in 2023 and the Europa League for now, unless he's needed in the first team, especially because Ben White's played really well. And I think it makes Mikel Arteta's life a little bit easier. He's got two centre-backs who are playing well, and he's got Ben White playing well at right back.
Mm.
And it would be a hard choice right now to make a change. And it would also just be a choice that, you know, if you brought Tomiyasu in and if it was for Saliba and White was at centre-back, or if it was for White and he was on the bench this weekend or next weekend, if something goes wrong, then there's just a very obvious finger to point at Mikel Arteta for making a change to a back four that's looked pretty settled and pretty good so far this season. So it does then become harder to make those changes. I don't think it's been an accident that we've been playing so well and the lineup has remained so settled.
Yeah.
So as long as we're playing well, I think he'll be reluctant to make too many changes, and we'll probably keep seeing this, and Tomiyasu gets eased in the cup games, the European games for now.
He is in the Japan squad. They've got a couple of games coming up in September during the international break. They're playing the US and Ecuador. Look, fingers crossed he can get himself back to full fitness, because he's a player I think who will offer a lot to this team. There was another point I was going to make as you were talking there, but I've completely forgotten what it is. And I could sit here probably for the rest of the day and it won't come back to me. So I think on that note, we will leave it and hope that when Sunday comes, we can do better at Brentford than we did last time around. I think we're probably going to have to win to maintain our place at the top of the table. Manchester City playing Wolves this weekend.
Wolves on the early Saturday game.
Yeah, so by the time we play this, we could be behind Manchester City. Maybe that's a good motivation for the players, just to remind them that there's still a little bit of work to do before we claim the title as our own this season.
And with And with the other cancellations this weekend, it's a really nice chance to build an extra 3-point gap to Liverpool and Chelsea and Manchester United.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Lewis, as ever, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Andrew. You too.
And to you guys here on Patreon, thank you very much, as always, for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. James and I will be here on Monday with an Arsecast Extra, so join us for that. For now, have a great weekend yourselves, and we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers. Bye-bye.